Let us open our Bibles this afternoon to the book of Proverbs and read the first six verses of Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, the first six verses. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This last verse is also the text for the sermon this afternoon. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't know, dear congregation, if you have ever received a gift and asked, and what am I to do with that? That should be our question when the Lord presses the gifts of children into our hands. What shall we do with them? And the Lord has several things to say about that. We are to provide for them. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says that we are to provide for those of our own house. We are also to give them rest. That's what Naomi says when she speaks to Ruth. Shall I not seek rest for you? Home is a place where we can have a pillow, boys and girls, and where we can have a bed to sleep in. And home is a place where our children should know something of the rest and comfort that we can give them in this brief life. But besides providing for them and giving them rest, we also need to train them. And that's what our text says. Train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's why you can write over this sermon, child training, the duty of parents. Child training, the duty of parents. And we'll see four things. First of all, why. Secondly, what. Thirdly, how. And fourthly, whereunto. Child training, the duty of parents, why, what, how, and whereunto. The task of a parent, dear congregation, is a great and important task. Train up a child in the way in which he should go. Many don't take this task serious. Many push it to the side, but they do so to their own hurt and to the hurt of their children. But this afternoon, the question is asked to parents, and also to brothers and sisters, and to teachers and family members, but especially parents, are we doing what we can to train our children up in the way in which they should go? Now, why must we train them up in the way in which they should go? Let me give four reasons. For one thing, because there are two ways. Because there are two ways. Our text speaks of the way in which they should go, but it implies that there is another way that they should not go. And the scriptures make that plain, that there are indeed two ways. The Lord Jesus speaks of that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, where he speaks of the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way is wide, and many go in on that way, and it's a pleasant way. It's the easy way. People just drift down this way. But there is also the narrow way. That's not so pleasant, and it's not so easy. But where are these two different ways taking their travelers? That's the most important thing about a road, isn't it? The most important thing is not which road has the best street lighting and which road is the prettiest and which road is the widest, but where will this road take me? Will it get me where I need to be? And the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 7, the broad way, the way of ease, the way of sin, the way in which people naturally drift is the way that leads to hell. And the narrow way that leads to heaven. And since there are two ways with completely different destinations, Solomon says, train up a child in the way he should go. Secondly, we are to train them up in the way they should go because our children have a never-dying soul. Our children have a never-dying soul. You see, we have been created with a body, but also a soul that will never die. It was just over a week ago when we were at lunch asking our children some questions, some basic catechism questions, and I asked the children a few less questions than normal, and then one of the girls said to me, "But Papa, you didn't ask me the question about dying." And I realized I had skipped the question that asks, do you have a body as well as a soul? And in answer to that, she said, yes, I have a soul that will never die. Parents, don't just think about their bodies. Think with love about the souls of your children. They have a soul that will never die. Yes, we must train them up because there are two ways. Secondly, because they have a never-dying soul. Thirdly, because our children go the wrong way by nature. They go the wrong way by nature. Train up a child in the way in which he should go, not the way in which he would go. You see, children are bent towards evil and sin. That's the result of the fall into sin. And if you let children decide for themselves, they will certainly go the wrong way. They have a sinful and a corrupt heart. They're set on doing wrong. Solomon will say that further in this chapter, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You don't want your children to follow their foolish heart, do you? Chapter 29, verse 15 says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. And you see, he is saying you can't just leave a child to himself and to his sinful and rebellious inclinations. That would not be good for them physically if you left it up to your children what they should eat for breakfast and lunch and dinner and for snacks. And it would not be good spiritually if you leave them to their own rebel will. Yes, that means that there will be a battle of the wills in child training. And parents, you cannot let your child win that battle. True, he will want to go another way, but the Lord says, train up a child in the way in which he should go. Not would go, but should go, because they go the wrong way by nature. And fourthly, we need to train up our children in the way that they should go because they're young. They're young. Train up a child in the way in which he should go. Train him up when he's young. Young people, let me ask you for a moment, or maybe boys and girls, have you ever seen those old twisted trees that are twisted downward and bent over? You can't straighten those trees. A ladder won't help. A pole, a cord will be of no use to straighten an old bent tree. That tree should have been corrected much earlier in its life. A sapling you may bend, but not an old tree. Spurgeon says, train trees when they're saplings, and children before long Begin early to teach, because children begin early to sin. Train them young, and you may do them good. And a poem I read went like this: ere your boy has reached to 7, teach him well the way to heaven. Better still, the work will thrive if he learns before he's 5. What is learned young is learned for life. Therefore, train up a child in the way he should go. That's our first point, the why. Now, secondly, the what. Now, when the writer uses this word, which our authorized version has translated as train up, it uses a special word. And there are at least 3 things contained in this word: dedication, initiation, and instruction. First of all, dedication. This word that is used here in Proverbs 22, verse 6, is the same word that's used in 1 Kings 8, verse 63, speaking of the dedication of the temple to the Lord by King Solomon, that place, that house of God that was set apart for the service of the Lord. In that place where the things of the Lord would be taught, and so it was dedicated to the Lord. That's what we must do with our children. If we will instruct our children, we must dedicate our children to God. Remember how Hannah did that with her son Samuel, committing this child back to the Lord because the Lord had given him to her. And I wonder, dear parents at the front, but a question for all of us parents: have you never said in your heart, this child which I have in my arms, or this child which is growing and up to be a toddler, this child has been given by the Lord, and we would not dedicate him to the world or to sin, but to thee, O God? Dedication, first of all. Secondly, initiation. This word that Solomon uses here has to do with first things. It reminds us of the temple that has been built, but now needs to be filled. Now, that's God's will, that our children would be a holy temple in which the Lord dwells, in which His presence is felt. As Paul will write in 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, fit for the master's use. What will we seek to fill our children with? And then you see the first things that we impart are crucial. The basics that we teach them are of vital importance, and we must teach them right the first time. And that brings us to the third word, not only dedication and initiation, but instruction or education. We are to impart knowledge to this child. Yes, we have to teach them, to instruct them. That was the task that Timothy's mother and grandmother took seriously, and Paul writes about that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Eunice and Lois trained up Timothy from his earliest years with the word. Now, what shall we teach our children then? Let me say several things. First, train them to think of the greatness of God. Train them up to think of the greatness of God. As Psalm 95 says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King. He is great in power, great in wisdom, great in majesty. He made the heavens and the earth out of nothing by His word. He said, remember, boys and girls, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't have to repeat himself. He didn't have to say it a second or a third time before it happened. No, he spoke, and it was. Teach them the greatness of God, who made the sun, moon, and stars, who rules over all things so that nothing happens by chance. All things come by His fatherly hand. Teach them the greatness of God. In 1715, King Louis XIV of France died. After a reign of some 72 years, he had called himself the Great, and his court was the most magnificent in Europe. And when it came to his funeral, that too was spectacular. And as his body lay in a golden coffin, orders were given that the cathedral would be dimly lit, with only one special candle set above his coffin to picture his greatness. Thousands waited in a hushed silence for the service to begin, and when the bishop began to speak, he blew out the candle, and he said, "Only God is great." Parents, train up your children to think of the greatness of God. Secondly, train them up to think of the value of their soul. How much value can we give to a soul? How much value does a soul have? The Lord Jesus said it in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The Lord Jesus holds out, as it were, this whole world with its gold and its silver. Imagine having the whole world and having every person on earth at your beck and call. Imagine that you were the commander-in-chief of it all. You could have this world just for yourself. That's what people are pursuing. That's what people want. They're always wanting a little bit more until they have this world and then another. And Jesus says it doesn't compare. A soul is of infinitely greater value than this world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? And we grow up in a world that wants people to forget that. And therefore they set before us its entertainment and its glitter, its pleasure. And we can become a slave to our work, and we can become a slave to this world and then go lost. And then with the rich man to lift up our eyes in hell and not even have a drop to cool our tongue. Therefore, parents, teach your children here is something of greater value than anything else. Your soul. Thirdly, train them up to see the evil of sin. The evil of sin means you need to tell them what sin is, and how it is against God, and how it displeases God. And tell them that sin comes in thought, words, and deeds. And teach them that hating their brother in their heart is sin. And being angry with their sister is sin. And disobeying mom and dad is sin. And tell them that this sin comes from the heart. And that we should be sorry for our sin as David was. And we should ask the Lord for forgiveness. Train them up to see the evil of sin. Fourthly, train them to see the preciousness of Christ. The preciousness of Christ. Speak much of the Lord Jesus Christ to your children. After all, we and our children need Him. And we need to bring them to Christ. That's what He said, "Didn't He suffer the little children to come unto Me?" It's by Him that they need to be. The Lord Jesus, remember, who said to that leper, "I will, be thou clean." Who said to that man who was brought by four friends and lower before him in the house, He said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." You see, He's the Savior, and our children need Him. He saves from the guilt of sin. He saves from the power of sin. He's the Lamb that taketh away sin. I heard of a father who had a difficult time with one of his children. I think it was his oldest son. And he said to him, after this son had come home late and had been not at the best of places, In the morning, when he met his son by the door, the father said, "Son, your father needs the lamb too. Your father needs the lamb too." And the son was touched by those words. Teach them to see the preciousness of Christ as a prophet to teach, as priest to save, as king to rule. Fifthly, train them in the habit of obedience. Train them in the habit of obedience. Parents, we need to teach our children to obey. J.C. Ryle says, it ought to be the mark of well-trained children that they cheerfully do whatever their parents command them. Obeying. Without talking back. Without grudging. But cheerfully. Immediately. Thoroughly. Without delay. That's what the fifth commandment sets out for children. And parents, it's your task to see that they obey you. What a grief Eli had in his family because his children did not obey him and did not obey the Lord. And what a sad thing when children are allowed to disobey their parents. The Lord Jesus had imperfect parents, yet he was subject to them. Luke 2 verse 51. Parents, if you wish to see your children happy, train them to obey you when they're spoken to. Sixthly, train them to treasure the Bible. Train them to treasure the Bible. After all, John Flavel says it well. The scriptures teach us the best way of living, the noblest way of suffering, the most comfortable way of dying. Teach them the treasure of the Bible, as one poet put it, "Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine, mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am, mine to chide me when I rove, mine to show a Savior's love, mine art thou to guide my feet, mine to judge, condemn, acquit, mine to comfort in distress, if the Holy Spirit bless, mine to show by living faith man can triumph over death. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine." Let the scriptures be taught. Let the children see the beauty of them. Let us teach those scriptures to our children. After all, they are a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Teach your children to read the Bible reverently. It is not the word of men, it's the word of God. Teach your children to read it regularly. Just as they need food for their bodies, they need food for their soul. Didn't Paul write in Colossians 3 verse 16, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly"? And teach your children to read the Bible prayerfully. Seventhly, train them up in the habit of prayer. Train them up in the habit of prayer. After all, by prayer, something grand takes place. We reach the ear of God in prayer. We can call upon the Lord in prayer and enjoy communion with Him. By prayer, Peter was saved from sinking. By prayer, Bartimaeus received his eyesight. By it, we come to God. And if we can't do anything else, laying on a sickbed, let us pray. If we're poor, we can pray. Children, if we don't learn so well at school like others may, we can pray. Train your children up in the habit of prayer. Show them how to begin. Tell them what to say. Encourage them to persevere. Remind them to pray if they've forgotten to pray. Before a child can read, you can teach him to bend his knees and fold his hands and speak to God. Eighthly, train them to see the importance of going to the house of God. The importance of going to the house of God. After all, the Lord Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord Jesus is present in church in a special way. It's at church where the Lord wants to speak to us and to our children. The Lord Jesus went to the house of God in Jerusalem and to the synagogue. That was his custom. And so must we and our children. And we should teach our children that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Remember, it was Thomas who missed the blessing of Christ because he stayed away from the meeting place. And he missed the first resurrection appearance to the disciples of Christ. You see, it's in his house that he wants to meet with you. Also you, children. And he wants to speak to you. Ninthly, train up the children to see the need of faith and repentance. The need for faith and repentance. Yes, faith is needed. After all, the writer to the Hebrews says it in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And why will people perish? Also church people, not because of heinous sins necessarily, but because of unbelief. And remember what the Lord Jesus said in John 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Teach your children the importance of faith, why it's needed, what it looks like, how it's worked. Teach them that faith lays hold of Christ and his promises, that faith is the empty hand for Christ to fill. But don't only teach them the need for faith, also for repentance. That we turn from sin, and that we turn from our sin, and return to the Lord. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus to people who felt pretty good about themselves. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It's that serious. We need repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 21. Tenthly, train them up to love and speak the truth. Train them up to love and speak the truth. Oh, I know that lying is an easy sin to commit. It's not hard for children to commit it. And it may seem advantageous at the time to get away with a little bit of trouble by lying our way out of it. But lying is a devilish sin. He's a liar, Jesus says. And we only hurt ourselves and others when we lie. Therefore, train your children up to be honest, even if it hurts them. Tell them how important it is to tell the truth, even if it hurts. Telling the truth builds closeness and trust, and lying destroys trust and breaks relationships. Therefore, train up your children to be straightforward and honest, to love and speak the truth by the grace of God. And lastly, train them up to see their need of the Holy Spirit. Train them up to see their need of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus continually spoke of the need of the Holy Spirit to his disciples. The Spirit who gives the new birth. That's what he said to Nicodemus. And unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the Spirit that we need to draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ so that there comes a living bond, so that the soul begins to breathe out after God. The Spirit we need to convict of sin, of righteousness and judgment. The Spirit who converts to God. The Spirit who comforts his child. The Spirit who sanctifies his people. Teach your children to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, that he would be given to them, to give them life and grace, if they would know true religion, They need the Holy Spirit of God, for without Him, we can do nothing. Parents, do you feel it? We have a weighty task, a vital task. I know the world does not set before parents this task, but the Bible does. It means you need time with your children, parents. You need to speak to them. And I wonder this afternoon if you take your task as seriously as it is written here. Is this task uppermost in your heart and mind more than getting your next paycheck? Do you seek to teach your children these things and train them up in the things that God's Word sets forth? You don't just need to feed them and clothe them, but a relationship with them must be formed, and you must train them the greatness of God. But how? This is our third point. How? Let me mention several things. For one thing, we are to train them in love. Yes, in love. Kindness and tenderness is needed. Not roughness, harshness. They are children. They need our understanding, our kindness. That's the way to their heart. Through love. We are to train them in love. I did not say that we should spoil them. That doesn't train up children for this fallen world. That doesn't prepare them for life and death. But your children do need to know that you love them. You know, the temper tantrum of King Saul did not win him any respect with Jonathan. Parents, the Bible warns against provoking your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged, Colossians 3, verse 21. Being harsh towards them and stern, that will not build a relationship, that will not win their trust, that will not win their respect, but love will. After all, the tender love of Father has. That's it. Even if we give them instruction, even if we have to administer discipline, we are to do so in love. Secondly, train them with patience. Train them with patience. You cannot teach your children everything in one day. You cannot cram it into them. Teach them patiently. Our text literally says this: train up a child at the mouth of the way. At the opening of the way. The picture that Solomon gives here is of a bottle with this narrow neck. And if you want to pour anything into that bottle, you can't do that too fast. You can't do too much at a time, but just a little. Gradually. Isaiah 28 verse 10 puts it, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Train them with patience. Thirdly, train them with prayer. With prayer, parents, we can't do this of ourselves. We can't do this in our own strength. We need the Lord. We need His help. We need His wisdom. We need His grace. Let the training up of your children be done in dependence upon the Lord and His grace, looking to Him to teach and train the children, looking to Him to shape and mold our children. And fourthly, train them with chastisement. Train them with chastisement. And in that chastisement and discipline, we should seek to address the heart, not just behavior, but the heart. but chastisement is needed. Proverbs 22, verse 15, verse later on in this chapter says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Yes, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And foolishness, Proverbs tells us, leads to death. How will that foolishness be removed? With the rod of correction. Your parents, when you've told your child something that they must do, and they haven't obeyed you, and they're capable of understanding you, but they haven't obeyed you, they must be disciplined. Not in anger, not in frustration, but we cannot spare the rod. The Lord doesn't spare the rod. Those whom he loves, he chastens. Yes, he loves whom he disciplines, and he disciplines in love. And so should we. Fifthly, train them by example. Train them by example. After all, our children learn more with the eye than with the ear. What they see has more effect on them than what they're told. Paul knew that too. He says, be followers of me. And he writes in Philippians 4 verse 9, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And J.C. Ryle says this, strive to be a living epistle of Christ, such as your families can read. Be an example of reverence for the Word of God, reverence in prayer, reverence for the means of grace, reverence for the Lord's day. Be an example in words, in temper, in diligence, in temperance, in faith, in charity, in kindness, in humility. Do not think that your children will practice what they do, not see you do. You see, they copy what they see. And that's why J.C. Ryle goes on to say, the parent who tries to train without setting a good example is building with one hand and pulling down with the other. Another minister said, giving good teaching together with a bad example is like nodding with your head in the direction of heaven, but taking them by the hand and leading them to hell. You see, don't just say the right thing. Show the right way. Use your lips and your life. And lastly, whereunto? There's the why. There's the what. There's the how. And also the whereunto. The Lord adds a promise to this precept. Train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you see the lessons that we can learn from this promise? For one thing, lifelong convictions are formed in our youth. Lifelong convictions are formed in our youth. Was that not how it was for Obadiah? That believing servant in the palace of Ahab, of whom we are told that he feared the Lord greatly, and he feared the Lord from his youth. In his youth, convictions were shaped. In his youth, convictions were molded in his heart and life, so that when he was older, he did not depart from it, even though he served under a wicked king and queen. Matthew Henry says this, early piety is to be hoped will be eminent piety. Those that fear the Lord from their youth will fear him greatly. Think of Obadiah and Joseph and Samuel and David, who came to fear the Lord from their youth. And lifelong convictions were shaped in their youth, were formed in their youth. Or think of Timothy, whose mother and grandmother taught him the scriptures. His father preferred the world. Today we would say he loved his sports, maybe, He loved the world, not the word. But Timothy had a mother, and Timothy had a grandmother who were used by God to shape and mold lifelong convictions. When does that happen? That happens in our youth. But Pastor, can we be honest, Pastor? How often do not children go astray? True. Did not Solomon go astray, and Uzziah, and Manasseh, just to name a few? What hope is there then that they will be brought back to that way? Because, and that's our second lesson, our text speaks of a certain time when child training will especially bear fruit. A certain time when child training will especially bear fruit, when he is old. When he is old, his training in his youth will be a blessing to him. Sometimes parents may not see it, but there may be repentance after you pass away. I mean, as a parent, you pass away and your child is brought to repentance after. The words of Ecclesiastes 11, cast your bread upon the water and after many days you will find it. It may not be immediate. It may be afterward. Remember the parable the Lord Jesus told of the one son who refused to work in his father's vineyard, but repented afterwards and went? That was how it was for the prodigal son. That's how it was for Manasseh. That's how it was for Solomon. Oh, what grief they must have had, thinking back upon their sins and their straying. That says, boys and girls, whenever you sin, it has consequences. Therefore, seek to fear the Lord from your youth. He will spare you grief. Oh, you'll have grief enough if the Lord saves you in your youth. But it will spare you from much worse. Parents, press this upon them. Train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know God is sovereign, and I know that even though Abel and Cain, and later Jacob and Esau grew up in the same home, one was saved, the other went lost. Sometimes parents with pain in their heart have to submit to God's sovereign good pleasure. But parents, can we not trace our children's straying to our poor training? Therefore, train them up. Don't let the world do it. Don't wait till they're older. What agony will be ours if our children rise up in judgment against us because we did not train them up in the way that they should go. We were too busy for them. We were so busy with our work, we had no time. We let the world train them up. And we didn't correct them. And we didn't teach them. And we didn't think enough about their souls and their own inclination to go astray. And we didn't give a good example. And if our children are saved, then it will not be your doing. It will be His doing. He who gives the precept here in our text and the promise. That's the ultimate reason why our children would be saved. Because He is the faithful, covenant-keeping God. And He promises to do for us and for our children what we can't do for ourselves. He is the author of the promise, and He is faithful. What a pleading ground you may have as needy parents. And what a blessing Joseph must have been to Jacob. What a blessing Ruth must have been to Naomi. What a blessing Timothy must have been to Eunice and Lois. And who would not want to belong to such a family where the scriptures are opened, where prayer is made, where instruction is given and correction is given that says No, son. With a baptized forehead, you can't go that way. And you may not do that to your mother. Not that way, son. That leads to death. This is the way to life. Come, let's bow at the Lamb. This is the way, walk ye in it. You see, Solomon here is really giving the secret to a happy home. Who would not want to be part of such a home? And I wonder if your home, is your home like this, where children are trained up in the way that they should go? Parents, do you train them up with the Word or with the world? Do you pray for them? Do you teach them? Even with all your shortcomings, I have a whole bunch of those too. But do you? Is your home a home like this? A happy home? Or have you made a mess of it? That's what we do, isn't it? But do you know that there is someone who doesn't fail to train his children in the way in which they should go? You see, I must preach to you the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows, just like with the disciples, how slow we are to learn. And he knows the rebelliousness of our hearts. And he knows our unwillingness. And he knows our love for sin. But he has come in the fullness of time to intervene. And he stands before us this afternoon. And he shows his goodness and his love. And he humbles your soul. And he makes you teachable in order to train you to bow at the cross. Yes, he teaches you by his Spirit of the greatness of God and of the value of the soul and of the evil of sin and of the preciousness of Christ, and he brings you to the cross, because there the only Son that never sinned, who had been trained by his Father, who had no inclination to go astray, yet he bears the sin of a guilty people, of guilty parents, of guilty children. He was forsaken of his Father so that you and your children may be brought to the Father. And in him we can find mercy, and to him we can bring our children, for in him alone they are safe. And he will see to it that all his poor and needy children are brought home. And he will say with the words of Isaiah 8, "Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me." Who would not want to belong to this chief prophet and teacher? You may ask him. You too, boys and girls. You may ask the Lord, "Train me and teach me. Yes, bless the means that my parents give me. Help me to listen and help me to see the value of my soul. But Lord, teach me thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart. For Christ's sake, amen." Let us give thanks and pray. Most good doing and gracious Lord, thou who dost come with a word to parents, seeking the welfare of our children and of us, we pray thee that thou wouldst bind it to our hearts and consciences, that we would feel the weight of souls, and that with all our shortcomings and sins, we may come to the Lamb and find that there is pardon and mercy and grace enough for us and for our children, we would entrust them to thy hands and to thy training. Lord, of ourselves we make a mess of it. No, that doesn't excuse us. We pray thee to equip us and enable us to do so to the utmost of our power, as we've promised, that we would bring them back to thee, saying, Lord, do for us and for our children what we can do for ourselves, and to end as families at the cross of the Lamb. Be thou the after preacher of thy word. Remember us also further this day in the instruction that may be given in the classroom. Help the teachers. And remember us in this week that lies before us. We commend to thee the couple that will be married this coming Saturday. Bless the various meetings that will be held. And remember us in mercy. For Christ's sake we ask. Amen.